And as we gather here on this beautiful afternoon, we might just gaze into Margaret's beautiful painting that she calls timeless. As it just brings us into that silent, still heart listening. The luminous blue, the colour of transcendence, inviting us to awaken our own inner heart wisdom knowing, our own heart awareness of how profoundly we are already one in the one who is all in all. And so this afternoon, our topic is nurturing communion consciousness. How are we going to nurture this communion consciousness of ourselves in the Trinity, enfolded, enclosed in this flow of love that we actually can sense into with those naked feelings, the blind feeling of our own being in God, in the Trinity of love? And how can we nurture that and enable that truth that we are to come to our conscious awareness some more? And how can we then enable that in each other? That's the very important thing here now too. I just wanted to mention too that I've recorded these conversations, and they will be available on my website, which is contemplatio.com.au, if you'd like to go back and listen to them again. I know people often do when they've had a retreat, just like to go back and perhaps take a little bit more time so that we can really digest things more gently. So again, Margaret's beautiful picture here where she's saying, "Do not be afraid, I am with you," reminding us that this is the I am again, the one who says, "It is I am with you, do not be afraid," from the book of Isaiah. "And I lift my eyes to the mountains." There's something about lifting up our hearts, being the beautiful human beings that we're invited to be the person, that transcendent, enfleshed, sensual, loving, open, Christ-centered person, and to be able to be that for each other. And her third picture here that I thought would be lovely to finish with today too is, "I find rest." There's something of this deep, deep rest in God that when we know this centered loving, that no matter what might be going on around us, we can be a centre of peace, a centre of rest, a centre of the peace of Christ in our world. And isn't that our hope, that we might have that serene, tranquil heart? So again, we come back to beautiful writings of John Maine, who says to us, "The ultimate end of meditation is communion. Not only do we discover our own oneness, but we discover our oneness with the all and with all." And so as we're discovering our oneness and this oneing that comes when our unity of consciousness is awakened and we start to enhance that some more, how could we then speak out of that, that it starts off in the deep, deep, meek darkness beyond consciousness, but does then rise into our conscious awareness as we connect heart to heart in that. And one thing I'd want to say, which I think is really important in what I'm saying here and what Beatrice is saying, is that the sorts of connections we're making heart to heart are not a taking over of somebody's boundaries. That when we connect heart to heart, we're connecting from our souls in God. So we're in that beautiful creative freedom and boundlessness that is absolutely healthy. So it's not attaching to someone or connecting to someone's boundaries, if you like, without a permission, or trying to take someone else over. On the contrary, this heart-to-heart being in one another in the Christ is that true loving energy of the body of Christ that Paul talked about so beautifully. And of course, in that then, it always has that differentiating union. In other words, we're so one that we enable the other to be the beautiful self that she or he needs to be. So there's always that differentiating union. We're not taking others over. And John Main says to us, and contemplation means deep, silent communion. And that's what we're longing for. It's certainly my heart's desire to be that place of contemplation, to be contemplation in our world, to be living in that deep serenity of the silent ground. And contemplation means deep, silent communion, knowing who we are. And we know who we are because we're in God. We know ourselves in God. Not the illusion that we're separate. Knowing who we are by being who we are. That we are rooted and founded in Christ, the resurrection of God, is Christian self-knowledge. And so to awaken within contemplation, I would say, is to awaken in the risen light of the luminous Christ. And that, can we stabilize in that now? We're like, we know the cross, we know the passion. Can we also, though, stabilize in this risen, luminous life of the Christ? And he says, every Christian is called to be a reincarnation of the Christ. Every Christian is called to undertake the pilgrimage to their own heart of flesh and there find the living Christ. And notice again the heart of flesh, that John Main's saying this is a really beautiful, sensual, enfleshed reality, that our enfleshment is holy because it's within our enfleshment that we meet the Christ. In that awakening, we know our own potential. We know we have the capacity to communicate Christ, because when we discover him, we will be sure we know him. We know him because we are already in Christ, and we have been, we are in Christ eternally. So he says, and when we know ourselves so confidently in Christ, we cannot help communicating that knowledge, radiating that love. Every Christian is called to be a personal reincarnation. And indeed, that is a sense in which the church is the body of Christ. A body alive with and enlivened with the Spirit. But this requires consciousness. In other words, we need to be aware. We need to allow the beautiful unity, the union of the meek darkness, that the beautiful fetus that we hold within us of the Christ, to come to birth in our conscious awareness. We need to be aware. We need to be present. And of course, that means not scattered and distracted, disturbed, but silent, still centered. And so Beatrice Bruto says to us, very similarly, I think, to what John Main was saying, by entering into Christ, the creative logos, so this is the word spoken from the silence of the all-holy silence, the pure silence from absolute love, we attain a new level of reflexivity. So in other words, that sense that we know, we come to know that we know from within the logos within us. I like to use the language of logos sophia, because in the sense of the Christ always holding the fullness of the masculine and the feminine together, and logos of John's gospel and sophia of Paul's writings, logos sophia, and we come into the one eye, not subject object, but simply this new level of reflexivity of the one eye. So there's not part of us disconnected, looking on, if you like, but we're really all centered in love. We become not only the consciousness of consciousness, the self-thinking thought, but the self-creating creature. So in other words, we create, what Beatrice is saying to us here is we're creating our own destiny here. So in how we choose to live our lives, we can be connected to the ground of all being, to the ground, in our own ground, in the ground of consciousness itself, and enable that consciousness to rise, or we can be scattered and disturbed. So she's suggesting to us, this is what it means to be incarnation now, to be in this movement, this creative movement. And so John Mayne says to us, the word meditation comes from the Latin meditare, which breaks down to the roots stare in medio, to remain in the centre. The word contemplation is being in the temple with God. The temple is your own heart, the depths of your being. To be in one's own centre is to be in God. In the words of Jesus, the kingdom of heaven is within you. This is where we find heaven, here, now, in this moment, in this sacred point. And we're invited to be and to live in that heaven now. So there's a sense of remaining, abiding, oneing, stabilizing in that evolutionary movement now, at this moment. And so Beatrice says to us, I tend to go along with the idea of an expanding universe, which of course science would be telling us very much today. And she says, I think it's a song that goes on singing. Since the process of forming the next great step in evolution, which is the manifestation of the infinite one, requires that we ourselves voluntarily and consciously and intentionally do the interactions that will constitute the new energy exchange that make the new being, we each and all have the honour and the responsibility for living and creating the expression of God as world. I love that sense. You know, this is a song that goes on singing, and we're being invited to sing the love song of our own heart, which is creating this love song of the divine, expressing the divine self within the universe. And so John Mayne says to us, prayer then is the life of the Spirit of Jesus within our human heart, the Spirit whose anointing we are incorporate in the body of Christ, and by which, in turn, we are returning for fully awakened to the Father, or fully awakened to this, to the womb of silence. We are praying when we are awakening to the presence of this Spirit in our heart. If this is so, there can be no forms or methods of prayer. There is only prayer, the stream of love between the Spirit of the risen Jesus and his Father. The Spirit of the risen Jesus and the source of all love, in which we are incorporate. If this is so, there's no part-time or partial prayer, as if the Spirit were not always alive in our hearts. But there are times, our twice daily meditation, or I'm sure some of you do that, it's more than twice daily, when we make a complete turn of consciousness toward this ever-present reality. Now, as we turn our consciousness into this present reality, we become more and more stable and able to realize this in the way we live, and to truly live in that flow of Spirit, in this flow of the dance of the love of the Trinity. That's what we're invited to be. And that I want to suggest that we can touch into that. We know what that feels like, and we know we're in it when we're in it. And I encourage you to attend to it, journal about it in your journal. And to begin to find some trustworthy prayer friends that where you can perhaps start to have a conversation about this and connect together in this and see what does it feel like when we're centered in our heart with in a trustworthy environment where each of us is centered in the I and pouring out love in a way that says, may you be, may you be, may the beloved, the word wisdom speak in you, be present in you. And so John Main says to us, Christian community is in essence the experience of being held in reverence by others, and we in our turn reverencing them. This reverence for each other reveals the members of the community as being sensitively attuned one to the other on the wavelength of the Spirit, the same Spirit that has called each of us to fullness of life. Now, I want to suggest that John Main means this quite literally. So we can touch into when people are sending us loving Spirit energy, and we can touch into it when people are sending negative, competing, angry, aggressive, whatever energy. And so he's saying to us, sensitively attune to each other. Be present to each other in the Spirit love energy. Thus, the mutually supporting and suffering dynamic of Christ's mystical body has just this creative aim, the realization of each other's essential being. True community happens in the process of drawing each other into the light of true being. And I'm sure you've met people who will say, oh, you know, this is just for a few, you know, really good meditators, and this isn't for me, and this will never happen. And of course, when we get into all of that, we're back in the discursive mind, and we're comparing ourselves to other people, which is really, really unhelpful. Because what John Main's reminding us is we're all in this flow of love. We have been and we are eternally. But if we're not as aware of it as some others, I think what's really important and what I've been trying to do this weekend is that we place it in the general consciousness, that this is so mainstream within Christian tradition, and yet it isn't very well known. And that's the tragedy. And the even deeper tragedy is just too many, sadly, people within our communities don't realize that this image of God within this indwelling love is just glowing and longing to be recognized, to be for us to come home to in mystical union in the oneing, and to live from and in that light of true being, and to have that shining out of our being. So that if someone gazes at us and we gaze back, they see that light of love. They see how loved they are. They see that they're accepted and they're loved into wellness, into wholeness and into freedom. So John Main says, in discovering our own spirit, we're led to our creative centre, whence our essence is being emanated and renewed by the loving overflow of the life of the Trinity. We find our own spirit fully only in the light of the one spirit. Just as we are sustained and expanded by our love for each other and know ourselves when we allow ourselves to be known by them. To see ourselves, we must look at another, for the way to selfhood is the way to otherness. And so what happens is, as this becomes more and more realized in us, is that as someone gazes at us, they see the Christ. And as we gaze at the other, we see the Christ. And so that this mirroring of the Christ self in each other just enables that to become stronger and more stable and fully realized. So this is what Beatrice really calls communion consciousness, or she calls it perichoretic consciousness, the consciousness of the Trinity. So communion consciousness can only see from oneness. It only sees from within unity. And the problem with the whole way in which we've been interpreting reality is that we split things and we separate them from the whole, and we examine them in isolation, and then we think we know them. But what this way of seeing is saying, and I love the way David Bohm, in all of his exquisite writings about wholeness, we're wholes within wholes within wholes. We live within a holo movement. And he speaks about the enfoldment in the holo movement, what quantum physics is telling us now, and these lovely energy fields of enfolding. Of course, it fits so beautifully, it seems to me, with what Julian of Norwich talks about and the Cloud of Unknowing talks about with oneing. This folding, enfolding, oneing, holographic vision, seeing from oneness. And so this is the place of what we call creative freedom, or Beatrice calls creative freedom. This is the creativity we need now to solve the problems of the world in terms of what's happening with the all the global crises that we're in at such multi levels. We need this divine creativity, and we must look at it as the whole of the universe as a whole, Earth as a whole, humankind and Earth in relationship as a whole. She says, real creativity arises like the transcendent freedom that empowers it, not as a response to the environment, but originally and spontaneously from the heart of the agent of the first source. This is from the heart of the divine womb that spoke the word. It's in John's language, John's gospel, it's from the source of the Father speaking the word, the divine lover speaking wisdom. This is the source we must, and this is a unity of source. Creativity may become the real interior meaning of the act of faith, inviting forgiveness as an act of faith in the future. So in other words, Beatrice is saying, forgive. give into the future, choose to love into this future. And let's learn from the mistakes of the past, and we weep, don't we, but you know, at the same time, we live into the memory of the future, of the Christ, of Omega, who's already drawing us into a deeper oneing, into a deeper union now. So we live into that oneing of the future. That's what she's talking about, forgiving. Don't live back in all the old stuff of the past and those negative patterns. And so she says, creatively, we enter into the very heart of the future, into the future in God. So we're grounded in the heart, in the divine heart. And we know when we're in the divine heart, we're in the heart of hearts, and we're all there in the one divine heart. I love the way Julian of Norwich says, in the heart of God, there is room for all humankind. And I'm sure she would say to all creation, to rest in peace and love. And so I mentioned Kathleen Dignan yesterday, and I'd like to come back to her again. She's a beautiful, poetic, musical soul. And she says to us, as we center now, drawn by Sophia, and pass through the turning point, we awaken anew to the birth of our beloved wisdom word. We nourish the divine fetus gestating within our womb soul, laboring to be born again and again and again. Only the continual birth of this divine self will bring salvation to the world, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be. It brings us back to the Mary womb darkness, doesn't it? And to this divine fetus in us, gestating within our womb soul. And I'm wanting us to really be aware of the touchings, those touchings of grace, those touchings of the fetus within us. What does that feel like? And what is it that the divine is wanting to arise from the deep, deep darkness of unknowing into consciousness? As John Maine says, we must become aware, we must become conscious, we must know in the unknowing that this is our deep and lived truth and reality. And as Kathleen's saying to us, this is what we need now for salvation, to give birth to the divine within us. And so we're back to Margaret's beautiful, timeless picture that she's inviting us into, this naked now, this point de temps, that this is the moment where heaven is, where we're being invited to live this love song and to sing the song of the future now. And so I invite you again for reflection. After finding a quiet place and centering in your heart, become attentive to the energy field of Maranatha that has and is still being created by people meditating around the world. Feel yourself contributing to this oneing field, showering out love into the universe. Become attentive to your being one in the heart of Christ, beholding and seeing from within Christ's self-awareness as one communion of meditators. Attend to the loving, enjoy the wooing, and delight in the goodness. And it seems to me that's all the beloved ever longs for us, to attend to the loving, enjoy the wooing, and delight in the goodness.